Blog Talk Radio.
Mystique Entertainment.
All right.
A global network for your top source for live streaming continuous content, such as music, film, trade shows, lifestyles and wellness, and reality shows. For business inquiries, contact Mystique Entertainment. Info mystiqueentertainment@gmail.com.
The views and comments expressed do not reflect the opinions of eWater Radio. All comments and views are show guest views and comments and in no way reflect views or comments of eWater Radio, KEWR, DB, or its affiliates.
Welcome to the show. I'm sorry. I'm going to explain. Welcome to DC's Black and White, no gray zone on eWater Radio. You already heard the call letters, but I'll say it again, KEWRDB. Oh, my God, I'm laughing because I swear to God, I thought I had it on point this time. I was like, I'm on lock. I even was going to text the owner, my man Ed. I was going to text him like, yo, got this, homie. And then I ended up talking through the first 2 seconds. I said, Jesus, man. Anyway. Hey, it can't be a DC show if you don't mess up something in the beginning. You know what I mean? I'm gonna have to literally stay consistent like this and just mess up something small. But this is one of my smaller flubs, so I'm not mad at myself on this one. So, all right, I'm really excited tonight. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice, but man, I was going over things. You know, I wanted to talk about maybe the coronavirus and this idiot pumpkinhead we have as a president. There were so many things. And it was all so negative, right? And I said, you know what? Try to be just a little uplifting and put a little humor to it. So I started thinking to myself, I said, what is it that bothers me about, you know, social media? You know, if you ask anyone to send you a picture, I can't say that. And I have to say, okay, let me preface it by saying this, okay? This is not an attack on ladies. This is not an attack on women. I love you guys. I adore you. You all know you make up my life. With that said, I have friends and just my whole life, okay? Now, that's done. All right. I've said all the goody goodies. I mean, am I good? Like, can I actually move on and say what I really want to say now? Why is it? Okay. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do something different tonight. I'm going to ask this question, and if anyone wants to text me, or call into the show, I'll put you on the air. We'll figure it out. Trust me, we'll figure it out. But, and I'll let you talk, and we can go back and forth. Because I'm so curious as to why women, when you ask them for a picture, they send you pictures. Oh, my God. I didn't ask for a cartoon character plastered over your face. I didn't ask for stars and shiny frames over your face. If I ask for a picture, I want to see you. If I'm getting a picture, if you're sending me a picture, send me you. You know, next time a woman asks me for a picture, I think I might send her a picture of Bugs Bunny. You know what I mean? Be like, hey, that's my Bugs Bunny filter. Ha ha. You know what I mean? I mean, or just not even mention it, because that's what women do. They just send a picture, and you're just supposed to look at it like it's normal. Like literally, when you meet a woman in person or you see a friend in person, you walk up to her and you go, where's your filter? You know what I mean? It's just so, it's perplexing to me, okay? And I have plenty of friends that I know, and they may not be listening live, so that's fine, but you know you were doing wrong. Okay, so I asked a friend of mine, a female friend of mine, this was maybe 2 months ago. I asked her, I said, why is it that women take pictures? Okay, wait, let me rewind this back a little more. Because I thought about something else just now. Just hit me, okay? Think about this. Why is it that women take pictures from above their head? What is that about? Like, I don't even understand that. And I'm not talking about dudes, okay? I don't receive pictures from guys. Well, no, that's a lie. I got a group of friends. I'm in a group chat. I got about 40 male friends. I got guys all around the world, okay? They're Brazil, Mexico, Canada, just everywhere. Okay, so we do all do send our pictures to each other, but 9 times out of 10, dare I say 9.9 times out of 10, I don't have a guy that's posing with his camera from like 4 feet above his head and he's looking up like he's looking up at the sun. Who the hell does this? What is this? What is this whole phenomenon? It needs to stop. It needs to stop. I'm gonna get a petition together. It needs to stop. It needs to cease. I'm tired of getting pictures from anyone where they're posting up cameras above their head, or they have filters, or they have stars on their face, or they have Bugs Bunny faces over their own faces, or ears, bunny ears. Like, what? Oh, my God. Okay, first of all, I'm not texting with 10-year-old girls. Okay, if I was texting with 10-year-old girls, then I would assume I would get a 10-year-old picture, like a unicorn or stars or a filter. I get that. But Jesus, we're all grown people, right? I'm assuming we're all grown people. So anyway, I don't get it. But I did ask a friend. I'm getting back to it. I did ask a friend a couple of months ago. I said, why is it that women take pictures from above their head? Her honest answer, she said to me, because it makes us look smaller. I said, what? I can't repeat what I said back to that response because, you know, I'm supposed to keep it PG on the show. At some point, Ed, we're going to have to change the rating of this show. Yeah, I'm throwing it out there, Ed. Okay, so this is my thing. I'm kind of wondering. So what I said to her was, to her response, she said, it makes us look smaller. Now, I don't know if that's like a uniform answer across the board for every woman that does it. I don't know. But I said, so you're faking the funk. In different words, but I said that. And she goes, what? And I said, you're being fake. You're not being authentic. If a guy wants to see what you look like, you just stand there. I'm sorry. I'm old school, right? I guess I'm going to date myself. I mean, but Jesus Christ, whatever happened to just standing there, head to toe, somebody stands 6 feet in front of you, and they take a picture. What is the problem with that? Is that really so archaic? I mean, is that the, like, Fred Flintstone way? And we're living in the Jetsons, and the Jetsons are represented by the pictures from above the head and the filters. I mean, am I that far behind? I mean, if I am, c'est la vie. But I don't get it. I don't understand it. And I'll give you a lot of reasons why, okay? A lot of reasons. So sit back, because I told this girl, I said, wait, so you're faking it. And she goes, what do you mean? And I said, you're not sending the guy. First of all, you're trying to look smaller, okay? I'm 6'3 and 280. Okay, I'm not skinny. You know what I'm saying? I don't portray myself to be skinny. I don't look at my pictures and be like, wait, let me see this. Oh, no, you can see too much. No, man, retake that. If you ask me for a picture, I snap it and I send it. Simple as that. Is that crazy? I mean, am I loco? Am I the only crazy? It seems so archaic and. It's killing me. If you ask for a picture, you get something from above the head and filters and all this stuff. So I explained to her. I said, okay, so you don't get what I'm trying to say? And she said, no. I said, if I ask you for a picture of you and you send me a picture of a unicorn covering half your face, how the hell is that a picture of you? Oh, well, it's cute. I said, no. I'm in my 40s. That's not cute. That's childish. Okay, let's call it what it is, people. Call it what it is. I mean, look, I'll even attack myself here for a second, okay? Here we go. Ready for this? I still play Xbox. I play GTA 5. It's a video game. Yes, I play it. That is my childish side. But I don't make everybody in my life deal with that. I don't send them memes from GTA 5. And if I started doing some crazy stuff like that, people would be like, what's wrong with DC? Something wrong with him? Is he a little touched in the head or something? People would be wondering what's going on with me. But I digress. So I told her, I said, okay, so it makes you look smaller. So what you're trying to do is you're trying to lie to the man if he asks for a picture of you. So, and I want women to really think about what I'm about to say here, okay? excuse me, doesn't make any sense. Okay, let's just say you're meeting a guy for the first time. Okay, let's say that you send a picture from above your head, right? This guy sees you in person, and you're 30 pounds heavier than what you look like in person. So you would rather be rejected in person than a simple text message that says, yeah, you know what, I'm not really into you. You don't waste your time. You don't waste your drive. You're driving. You don't waste your gas. No wear and tear on your car. I mean, did I mention time? You're not missing your time. I don't understand that. And it's so funny. Like, I got homies that show me pictures, and I'm like, why is it above her head, bro? What is going on? You women don't understand conversations that men have. We don't think it's cute. But hey, again, you don't have to do it for us, and that's fine. You know what I'm saying? Like, some women love a whole bunch of makeup. They like, you know, putting on the face of a, you know, 1680s whore and in England and walking around with the circles on their cheeks. And hey, look, I used to tell my daughter right when I raised her, I say, Ronald McDonald never won a beauty contest. You know what I mean? And this is not an attack. This is not an attack. This is humor. Levity, people. Ha, 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 ha. We should all be laughing at this point, right? Ha, 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 ha. That was really from the gut. Okay, so I told the girl, I said, or my friend, I told her, I said, so next time somebody asks for a picture of me, then what I should do is I should take like a 12-inch sausage, stick it in my pants, hang a camera from above my head 6 feet high, and just be like, snap. And send that, right? Is that what I should do? I mean, for real, think about it. Does anybody ever think about what they're doing, or they just do it just because it's a trend? I've always been the type of dude back in the day when everybody was wearing Nikes, I wore Adidas. I wore Reebok. I just didn't want to be part of the clan. I didn't want to be part of the group. You know what I mean? I don't know why this thing just popped into my head. I don't know why. It's a non sequitur. I'm literally getting off of what I'm talking about. Right? It just popped in my head. I have to say it because it just came in. Just say, hey, roll with the show, baby. Rolling with the show. Making moves. That's what we're doing, right? Okay, trip this. There's a father bull and a son bull sitting up on a pasture, at the top of a pasture. And they're looking down in the field of all these cows. And the son says to the father, he goes, hey, Pop, let's run downhill and have intercourse. Use your imagination. This is PG, right? Have intercourse with some of those cows. And the father says to the son, he goes, nah, son, let's walk down and do them all. Now, you know, you got to change the verbiage a little bit. I don't know why that just popped in my head. I think it's funny. I don't know why, but I went with it. So, hey, that's why it's called the DC Black and White No Gray Zone Show, because I do what I want to do. But getting back to it, she started laughing when I made the comparison of me sticking a, you know, 14-inch sausage down my pants, and, you know. But it just makes no sense to me. I don't understand it. I can't wrap my mind around it. And I've not gotten any text messages. I would have read them if someone was going to respond. So that either means no one's listening, or – well, it can't mean no one's listening. I actually had a phone. You know, I got a little. I'm not going to get into the details, but I had a nice phone call with Ed today, and I'll be. Well, you know what? Before I make that announcement, I'll make sure he's cool with me making the announcement. So, but I got good news from Ed today about the show. So happy about that. But seriously, filters. I mean, WTF? I don't know why you guys find this cute, but it's not, and we're going to move on. So I'm hoping I got my point across. Please, when a man asks you for a picture, or when you send a man a picture of yourself, send the picture of yourself. As simple as that. No tricks. No whammy schwammies on it. I mean, man. I mean, what if somebody I don't even know how to compare it, because it's such a wild thing, but I don't know. I'm making a big deal of it. We're going to move on. I wanted to do this show about we're moving on. This is I'm moving on to the next thing, right? I wanted to do a show about families and relationships. And I wanted to talk about some of the things that I've gone through with my family. And it is very comical. And some of you probably even know these stories. I know some of you don't. So understand that everything I say on this show is 100% legit. I don't make anything up, okay? I have to preface it and say this because you're gonna think 20 minutes from now, you're going to be like, what? No way that happened. Yes, way it happened. My life. Exactly. It happened that way. So I guess I'll start with my mom and dad, right? I think that, you know, I guess they were married like what, in the 60s, in the late 60s, I'm assuming? Because they got divorced. Yeah. Well, actually in the mid 60s. They got divorced in 70. I was 1 year old when that happened. And to me, I don't think that, well, okay, this is the thing. So my mom left the family house. My dad paid her out. And I think the house back then cost $10,000. I mean, can you imagine that? Oh, my God, $10K for a house? Let's see, it's a one, two, three bedroom, one bathroom, massive kitchen. Okay, it's like one of those older houses. So it's like a massive kitchen. In fact, you go to the kitchen area and talking, and you echo back there. I mean, it's a good-sized house. It's not a mansion at all. No, don't get it twisted. It's, you know, the bedrooms are normal size. But it really is amazing how much house they could get back in the 60s for $10K. But I think it was like anywhere from 10 to 20K. I'm almost positive that's it. My dad is dead. My mother's very angry, and she doesn't want to talk about the house anymore. So it leads me to speculate. But she feels like she lost out on the situation because she left and took my sister and I, and we bounced around from apartment to apartment while my dad stayed in the home, family home. But he paid her out here the half to own the house. She accepted the money. So, you know, it's kind of like I heard my entire life how pissed off. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say. I did mean to say it, but I didn't mean to use the word. How angry, unhappy she was with the deal. The financial deal did not work for her long term. I guess in the moment, maybe it did. I'm not sure. But my childhood growing up, that's all I heard about was, he's over there sitting in the house, da 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 da, and you know, by himself in three bedrooms when we should have been there. And I'm like, well, okay, I don't really know what to say to that. I heard a lot of stuff as a kid that I really shouldn't have heard. And I think my mother, I don't think she meant to, but I think she vented a lot. She said a lot of negative stuff about my dad, which made me hate my dad because my mom was my mom that I was living with. I mean, she's the bread. I mean, I saw my dad like twice a month for a weekend, you know, 2 weekends. So it was every other weekend in a month. And when you see somebody that sparingly, it's not a lot of time. You know, you gravitate to the person you're with 26 days out of the year rather than 4 days. I'm sorry, that's a year? Jesus, my bad. 26 days out of the month versus 4 days in a month. So I was team mom, you know what I mean? And she always played the victim 100% of the time. She was always the victim. As a man now, it's so much that I see that my mother did that I just chose not to do with my daughter. You know what I mean? There were things that that my mother would say in front of me and my sister. My sister's 5 years older than me. And bad shit. Oh, there we go. I didn't mean that. Jesus. Ed, help me out. Ed, help me out, bro. Help me out. Oh, can we go rated R? Just, you know, TV 17. Give me something, man. Give me a different rating. I can't do PG. I'm trying. I'm really trying. But my sister's insane. Legitimately insane. People that know her believe either she's bipolar or she's just – but I just believe she just refuses to have impulse control. She just does whatever she wants. I really feel that way. When you live with somebody like that, I'll give you an example, right? Okay. you're gonna, you, and this is a good story. I didn't even plan on telling this story tonight, but this is, you'll love this. So it just popped into my head. My mother, because my dad physically abused her the first 4 years of their marriage, drilled it into me. I mean, drilled it into me. Don't hit women. Don't hit women. Don't hit women. Okay? So when you hear that growing up, you know, you just don't do it. You know, your 5 foot mom is telling you don't hit women, you don't do it. But remember now, my sister's 5 years older than me. Size wise, she's got the advantage. You know what I mean? And she had the advantage all the way up until I hit maybe 11 or 12. And then I was looking her in the eye. So, but before then, that was the situation. So my mother's law in the house was this. If your sister does something to you physically, don't hit her back. Tell me, and I'll punish her or I'll whip her when I get home. Okay? That was the deal, right? But then, you know, as kids, we all know, if you have siblings, if you're an only child, you had a hell of a childhood. Congratulations, okay? I had an older sister who we were real tight when we were young, but my mother came to me when I was about 8 years old and she was about 13. My mother came to me and said, listen, I'm working 40 hours plus a week. Your sister's going to get pregnant. She's boy crazy. And if she gets pregnant, she's going to have to leave, drop out of school and get an abortion. It's going to wreck her life. This is what my mother tells me. You know what I mean? At a very young age. So I'm like, oh, you know, see, hey, I caught myself, Ed. I mean, I want people to count how many times I said Ed tonight, except for that one. Anyway, I said, my mom told me, listen, I need you to be my eyes and ears. I need you to call me. Let me know what's going on at the house. And my mother made it seem like my sister was going to ruin her life. You know what I mean? When your mother asks you to do something at 8 years old, you just do it. I didn't think about I was, tattletelling on my sister. I didn't think about that. I thought I was saving her. That's the way my mother put it to me. She manipulated me. Let's just call it what it is. Let's be real. You know what I mean? She did what she thought she had to do to try to make sure that my sister wasn't sneaking boys into the house, which she was, and she did. And she did get pregnant, and she did have to have an abortion. You know what I mean? I didn't find this out until later on in life, but I remember the drama, and I didn't know what was going on. You know what I mean? So funny how my mother sometimes she'll sit here and she'll tell me things I shouldn't know anything about, but then that was like off limits. You know what I mean? I mean, my mother vividly described some of the attacks that my dad did to my mother. And I'm telling you, why would you tell a 7-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 5-year-old this stuff? It makes no sense. But my mother was hurt. She was angry. She was venting. You know what I mean? I really feel like, you know, and I honestly think, like, on a subconscious level, I think she wanted us to be on her team. You know what I'm saying? Because anytime I remember as a kid, anytime I felt slightly good about my dad, my mom would throw a wet blanket on that fire. She'd be like, oh, hell no. Let me tell you what your daddy did. You know what I mean? And I'm like, I hate dad. You know what I mean? One day, I was driving in the car with my dad. We went swimming. We went to go eat. And my dad said, now this is crazy because I don't even remember this. My dad said, all of a sudden, we're talking, having a good time. And I burst out, oh, wait. I did get a text. Let's see if it's about what my question is. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I did not mean to take 7 seconds out. I thought it was about the previous thing. So that's typically I won't be checking my text messages. But I had to check that one because I thought it was about the content on the show, which it was not. So I apologize. Me being a professional, I apologize. Anyway, my dad told me that we're having a good time, and all of a sudden I burst out, I hate you, and I start crying. Now I'm a kid. I'm like, what, 5 or 6 or 7 years old? I forget. And he tells me this. And my dad looks over at me like, what the hell is going on? You know, we're driving. And doesn't, like, just leaves it alone. Drops me off, and that's it. Dude, there's some people on this planet that shouldn't be parents. It's just the way it shouldn't be. And you know what? I just thought of a, you know, I'm going to go there real quick. Man, you guys are going to see how my mind just works. I mean, you know, it's like tag. Every subject leads to another one. Tag. You know what I mean? But I've always had this theory that I think, at least in America, because we have some stupid people in this group. And I'm talking about, I mean, when I say stupid, I'm not talking about just dumb. I'm talking like low IQ. I truly believe that, and this is going to sound wild, I get it. It's so far from where we are, but sometimes you got to think outside the box. We can't have dummies giving birth to dummies. You know what I'm saying? We have enough ignorance in this country. We have enough low IQ people under the number of 100. And by the way, if you're 100 IQ, there's nothing to be proud of, you know? I'm just saying at least 100. Jeez. Okay. I truly believe that people should have to get an IQ test before they mate, before they procreate and have babies. And I know that sounds elitist. I know. Trust me. See, when I think of something, I battle myself on it mentally. I'm like, yeah, but that sounds really like you're, you know, and I'm like, yeah, it is elitist. And I'm all for it. Let me tell you why, okay? We have a bunch of dummies voting right now in this election I hate to just put it out there, but I mean, I'm sure at least one of my friends voted for Trump. I don't know why they would have. Oh, no. I do know why. Because, and you know what? I wouldn't call them dummies either, because they actually did it because for financial reasons. So I understand, because they're actually, there's two guys I do know. I argue with them. I'll go back and forth. They're great. They're good guys, though. I love them. But we do argue, and we go back and forth, and we don't agree on politics. We just don't. It's just the way it is. And we have all respect for each other. We chop it up, and then we let it go when we're done. You know, we're just like, all right, well, you know. Personally, me, I'd like to see more people of just an average IQ. Okay, I'm not even talking about smart. Average to good to genius. I'd rather see those three categories voting and making up at least an intelligent vote where it's not just, I'll give you an example, it's not just, yeah, I hate the Mexicans too, so why don't we just vote Trump? Yeah, Trump's a good guy. He's with us. I don't know how, and I'm not going to get political. I'm not. I really, really try. I wanted to so bad. You know what I mean? It's like a beautiful naked woman in bed. Trump is one of those issues you could just go on and on and on for an hour. But I feel like there's a large base of, I don't know, maybe. I'll tell you what. If anyone wants to hear me go off for an hour on Trump in another show in the future, let me know. You know what I mean? If I get enough responses, I'll do it. And trust me, the content will be all factual. There will be some opinions. But remember, the opinions will be factual, backed by facts. Okay? But anyway, it's just having the low income, the low educated, the racist put in a vote that equals the same as mine. Now, mind you, everybody was up in arms and they said, oh, you're only voting for Obama because he's black. But again, every white person that brought that up to me, I said, hey, every previous fuck. Woo! Caught myself right there. Caught myself. Woo! Ed's gonna love me on that one. Ha ha! It caught me. See, I get passionate about stuff, and then you know the words start flowing. But anyway, you know how can I say? You know, it's so hard to describe. But I'd rather just have, if it's going to be a racist person, at least make them a racist educated person, as far as the IQ level goes, educated meaning that way. Obviously, you're not too educated if you're racist, but or bigoted or whatever. You know, it's just, man, it's really a hard, don't really know how to put it. And I know it sounds so elitist, it sounds so bad for me to be sitting there saying what I'm saying, but if at least I could deal with it if we had intelligent racist people voting for Trump and Trump was voted in office the first time, I could swallow that pill a little bit better, knowing that a bunch of hillbilly, redneck, toothless, cousin, sexton individuals in this country, mostly from the South, voted him in office, and one of their votes counts as equals mine, it's insulting to me. It's insulting to my intelligence. It's insulting to me as a man, as a voter in this country. It's difficult to, that's a difficult pill to swallow. But anyway, I know I started on family and relationships, and I'm done with the politics. I just had to go there for a second, but I'm bringing it back. We hit the guardrail. We bounced off a couple of places, but now we're back in the middle of the lane again. We're good, all right? Car's a little dinged up. Bumper's 5 miles back, but we're good. Dragging the muffler, but we're all good. Sparks and fire. Anyway, so my mother told me too much. I knew too much about my dad, and subconsciously it affected me. It basically made me hate my own dad. And I didn't figure this out until, I think I remember one day I was on the side of my dad's house, and I was looking at him. And I guess he could see it. I was about 12. And he could see the anger, the venom I had towards him. He could see it. And it was crazy because he looked at me, and he's a grown man. My dad was like 5'10", 5'11", and I was nowhere, maybe 5 feet tall. And I just remembered thinking about all the things my mom said that my dad did to her. It was just in that moment, in that time, that's what was going on in my mind. And my dad said, "You look like you want to swing. Take a swing." He goes, "But remember, that's going to be the last swing you get off." So basically, he was letting me know that if I, took a swing at him, which I understand, that he was going to beat my ass. And I didn't swing. I mean, my dad's a big dude. Well, now he's 6 feet underground, but, back in the day, he was a big dude, just picture me with a huge belly. He's got big shoulders, big arms. My dad was my dad was a good-looking dude. When he died, I mean, he looked like maybe he was 55. But the dude was like, was he 80? No, wait. Yeah, he was 81, 80, 81, somewhere around there. And so, I used to tell him, like, man, I hope I live. Because, later on in life, I became real close with my dad. And you know what was crazy? Oh, my God, listen to this. He actually said this to me. He and I were sitting down, and I forget what he said. Something came up about, hitting women. And he looked over at me, and with the most sincerest voice, he said to me, "Man, son, I wish somebody had taught me not to hit women." This is what he said to me. He was like 75 when he said this. And I looked over at him. I was like, when somebody has an epiphany like that, a moment like that, you don't want to, make them feel bad. But in my mind, I'm going, I don't need to be told I'm not supposed to have sex with babies, but I just don't do it. You know what I mean? Like, who needs to be talked about? I was so blown away by him saying that. It shook my foundation. I looked over at him. It was almost like if somebody walked up and just smacked me in the back of the head with a 2x4. I was dizzy in the head. I was looking at him like, and he was so sincere, by the way, people. He was so sincere. And it was really amazing. Truly, truly amazing. But I brought all this up to say, my mom kind of really, I don't know, what's the word, just tainted my relationship with my dad. Now, mind you, my dad was not a great individual. I've always said this about my dad. I felt like he's the type of dude that should not have had kids. He's a very selfish, self-centered type of guy. And when you have kids, you have to sacrifice, okay? I mean, like, my dad's rules in the house, trip this. I'm not lying. This is what he used to say. He'd be like, he would say, I'm laughing at it. It was just kind of, as a parent now, I have to laugh at it. You know what I mean? But, like, I say, "Hey, Dad, can I have the Snickers?" The Snickers in the refrigerator. And he would say, "How many are in there?" And the law of the house was this. If there were two or more, I could have one. If there was one left, I cannot have it. Now, anyone can choose to raise their kids however they want, okay? Some people, you know, spank their kids with belts. Some people, you know, punish them with a timeout in the corner. You know, some people talk to their kids. I talked to my daughter. You know, I used to sit her down. I told her, I said, I'm not going to put hands on you. Like, you know, I don't, it's not the relationship I wanted with my little baby doll. You know what I mean? I mean, what dad wants to put hands on his little princess? You know what I mean? You know, she was a knucklehead. But she was a good kid, though. To be honest, she was really a good kid. But there were times where I had to sit her down. And I remember one time I came home. She was probably about 16. Came home, and we were living in a brand new house, so the garage was real quiet. It was an automated belt. The belt that brings up the garage. It was an automated, real clean system. And I used to oil it with WD-40, so it was silent as hell. So I come in the house, into the laundry room, and there's another door that separates the laundry room from the house. So I'm standing in there, I'm taking some stuff off, and I hear my daughter going off. And I'm like, who the hell is she talking to on the phone like that? And I was like, because my attitude is this. If you're going off on somebody like that on the phone, you don't need to be talking to them. Hang up. Oh, man, this is worth some words. I'm catching myself, baby. Ed's going to be proud of me tonight. Only three flubs. Anyway, you know, I don't see the point of having somebody in your life and beefing and arguing and hollering and all that. I don't get that. You know, and as a dad, you want to teach your daughter, you know, act like a lady, you get treated like a lady. Or you should get treated like a lady. I should say that. Because obviously there are some men out there. I used to tell my daughter this, right? I tell her, I say, if a guy walks up to you and he's trying to hit on you, and let's just say you're not feeling him, or you got a boyfriend. I say, just look him in his eye and say to him, I'm not interested, but thank you so much. Or I appreciate your compliments, you know, but I'm in a relationship. My thing was, the one thing you don't want to do is ignore him. Man, I got the hiccups. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. This is weird. I never get it. Here we go. A little bit of water. That's weird. Anyway, I never wanted her to ignore or be rude to a man. I have a friend. This was back when we were in our early 20s. Her name was Edna, and she was with, like, let's call her girl Sally Sue, right? Edna and Sally Sue. Now, I never met Sally Sue, but Edna was at the club with Sally Sue, and this guy buys her a drink. She takes the drink and walks off. And he goes, hey, you know, and he, like, grabs her by the arm, not aggressively, but just kind of like, hey, you know, I want to talk to you. And then she yanked her arm away, like, don't go touch me. And he's like, and this is crazy, okay? Edna told me, because she saw the whole thing. She was, like, 6 feet away. She said she couldn't hear what was going on. Later on, that's what she caught, you know, because anyway, I'll explain. So he whips her around by her arm, like spins her around so she could face him. And he comes up with an uppercut. Pow. She flies over a table, and she's knocked out, obviously. Obviously, the dude got arrested, and that's how they heard what the story was, blah, blah, blah. I mean, who the hell wants their daughter? Like, if I could just tell my daughter, don't go to a club. You know what I mean? Don't do it. I've worked in too many clubs. I've seen it. I mean, it's just, people are not their best when they're drinking. They are not at their best. And it's not something you want to really deal with. You know what I mean? It really isn't. So anyway, getting back to it, I try to, as a father, teach my daughter to be respectful, look a man in his eye, to, you know, thank him. And this is sad that I have to tell her to do that, by the way. You should, in a civilized world, you should be able to just walk away. And if the guy wants to say, hey, F you B, okay, then fine. But just keep walking. You shouldn't be in fear, a woman, when I say you. A woman shouldn't be in fear that a dude is going to get physically aggressive with her. That's insane. Just because you, I mean, do you know how many times, and by the way, I'll give you an example. My mother, at a very young age, I'm talking maybe like 4 years old, and this is for people that are probably 40 years old and plus, because probably people younger than 35 probably don't know. But in department stores, they used to have these heavy doors. It was known as automated doors that slid open for you when you walked up. They were heavy doors you had to pull open. Well, my mother would stand there, and her attitude was she was going to make me a gentleman. You open a door for a woman. So anywhere we went, I had to open up the door. And I'm struggling, and I'm pulling this door. Remember, I'm like 4 years old. I'm tiny. Maybe I'm not four. Maybe I'm 6 or 7 because I'm thinking I had to be able to reach the handle to pull it. But whatever it was, I was too, you know, the door was probably heavier than me. And I'm pulling and struggling and fighting with this door. And my mother would stand there. Just wait. My mother and my sister would just stand there and wait. If it took me 2 minutes to get that door open, then it was what it was. It was the 2 minutes they were going to wait. And so when you grow up like that, you learn to have a high level of respect for women. But I also, in return, I expect a high level of respect back. You know what I mean? In other words, I'm not going to treat a woman as being disrespectful to me. I'm not going to treat her with respect. You know? If you want to talk ill to me, then be prepared because your ears are about to catch some stuff that you probably didn't think you were going to hear this morning when you woke up. You know? You can't call me an MF-er and think I'm just going to be like, oh, that's great. You're awesome. You know what I mean? Like, who does that? So this guy came up, a grown man. I remember this. A grown man came up and said, hey, little man, let me help you with that. And my mother barked at the dude. No, he's got to do it for himself. No, and then she goes, thank you, sir. But, you know, I'm teaching him something. You know what I mean? And he said, oh, okay. And I'm like, I'm standing there, I'm like, I just had some help. And now you're going, what the hell is that? That's not helping me. How are you helping me? You know what I mean? I was like, this man was about to help me. What's up? But anyway, you know, you go through things like that in life. My mother was very bitter. She's older now and by herself. I said to her probably about a year ago on the phone, I said, hey, Mom, are you happy? And she said, I'm content. And I said, whoa, pump your brakes, Mom. I said, what? I said, did you say you're content? She said, yeah, son. I said, oh, wait. I got one more text. Let's see if somebody's going to. Oh, okay. Never mind. Again, that was not shorter. That wasn't about the show. So she goes, I'm trying to remember where I was at. Damn. This is where if I had like a co-host, they could be like, oh, yeah, you were talking about something. I'm like, yes. That's where I miss a co-host. It's so funny. Like, I have a friend. We talk damn near every day. And we disagree on some things. And it's funny because, like, I love her to death. That's my girl. She's like my ride or die homie for life. You know what I mean? And she knows who she is. So, you know, but mad props to her because we get in disagreements all the time. Like, she says silly stuff. And this is me digging at her now, right? She says silly stuff like Mayweather is, like, you know, a greatest champion of all time or one of those, you know, comment like that. And I'm thinking, how can you call yourself – we just got into this earlier today. How can you call yourself a fighting champion, but you ducked and dodged Pacquiao, and then you didn't take the Pacquiao fight until he lost the fight, till Pacquiao lost the fight. Then Mayweather was feeling brave and stepped in and wanted to fight Pacquiao, but he didn't want to fight Pacquiao in his prime. So he stood on ceremony about, oh, I want 60% of the money. You can have 40, or, you know what I mean? And Pacquiao was like, no, we're going 50-50, straight up. You know, it is what it is. So anyway, I personally believe Muhammad Ali is the greatest champion of all time. And let me tell you why. And this is going to be quick because I can do a whole 60 minutes talking about boxing. I really could. My dad was a huge boxing fan and raised me just on old tapes. And my middle name is a boxer's name. You know, my legit middle name in real life is a boxer's name. You know, that's how much of a fan of boxing my dad is. And it's crazy because my dad showed me The Thrill in Manila. And when you see a man, first of all, Ali ducked no one. Every number one contender. He said, I'm going to mess you up. This is what I'm going to do to you. I'm going to take you out in this round. He knocked out dudes in the rounds. He said he's going to knock them out more so than he didn't. I mean, let me say that again. The prediction that Muhammad Ali would make was, if he said, I'm going to knock you out in the fifth, he knocked people out more in the fifth than he didn't knock them out in the fifth. And I don't know if anyone saw the movie that Will Smith did as Muhammad Ali, but again, I don't know how much anyone knows or they, but Muhammad Ali, Will Smith in the movie was jacked. I mean, huge physically. But Muhammad Ali in real life, he looks like a basketball player when he was fighting. He didn't look like he had any power at all. And this man would bounce off the ropes with his hands down by his knees, and he would just bounce. And the dudes would be swinging, left, right, and he'd just be bouncing, coming back, moving to the left, moving to the right. And can you imagine how good you have to be in order to make a man miss like a dozen punches and not hit you one time? And your hands are down, you're not even fighting him back? You letting this man punch himself out? Oh, my God. My man Muhammad Ali, when people put Mayweather in the same sentence as Ali, it makes me just want to go Hulk smash and just turn green and just destroy everything. Because I feel like people give Mayweather way too much respect than he deserves. And again, I'm not hating on him. I love a black man that makes his money in America, and he's a multimillionaire and does his thing. I'm happy for him about that. Here we go. Golf clap. I'm proud of the man, okay? Because it's hard for a black man to become a millionaire in America. So when you do it with anything, whether it be singing, boxing, sports, music, whatever, I'm proud of you. Acting, you know, arts, whatever. I'm proud of you, and I'm happy for the man. This has nothing to do with any of that. This has to do with him being compared and him being, you know, I hear it way too much, and I feel like it's such an uneducated opinion, you know. Anyway, I'm going to leave it at that, getting back to my mom and dad. And I didn't expect that my mom, you know, I had a whole list of people in my family. Let's see, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, I have 7 other people I was going to talk about. Who knew my mom and dad would take up this much time? I didn't see that coming at all. I really didn't. That's why I made a list of people. I was like, oh, they're going to learn a lot about my family tonight. But anyway, tell my mom she's bitter, she's angry. But when she said she was content, getting back to that, I said, Mom, I wish that you had, after dad, you had met a husband, treated you like his queen. I feel like my mother's outlook on life, she'd be happier, she would feel differently, and she'd probably be just at peace. Her soul would be at peace. I don't feel like my mother's soul is at peace at all. So anyway, that's just my opinion. You know, everybody's got an opinion, like everybody has a butthole. See it? Man, I'm catching myself, bro. I'm doing good here. All right. So anyway, but I wanted to really tell a story, and this is because I wore so much time on my mom and dad, I got to end on some funny stuff. So I'm going to talk about some issues I had with my sister growing up, okay? And then getting back to the fighting thing, right? So my sister, she would, she knew the rules in the house that I couldn't hit her back. So my sister would walk up and be like, hey, punk, and slap me in the back of the head. Or, you know, she'd come up and take the, you know, change the TV or something. You know what I mean? Like, she would provoke and do whatever the hell she wanted. When it was just me and her in the house, she would do a whole bunch of stuff. Now, mind you, I'm not painting the picture that my sister and I didn't get along when we were kids. We were really close up until I was probably about 8 years old. And then that's when my mother asked me to start watching the house. And when I started tattling on my sister, then we just went all the way down to hell. You know what I'm saying? I've been to hell and back with my sister on there. And so what happened was I always made my own choice. Most of the time, I didn't fight her, and I just took it on the chin like a champ, and I kept on moving. You know what I mean? But there's just sometimes, man, my sister would do stuff that was just so just blatant and, like, in your face and just no respect for me. You know what I mean? And as a young man, even though I'm a kid, I still want my respect. You know what I mean? I still wanted it. And I felt like she would take advantage of me, so I would fight her back. I would lose. But the thing is now when my mother gets home, now she's going to beat me with a belt. You see how that math is? I mean, that's just some – that's like That's that new math, okay? That's that new math that goes 1 and 1 equals 3. I mean, it just makes no sense. And it's not like my mother regulated my sister and told her, I mean, she would say, don't hit your brother. But, I mean, she didn't dare come down on her as hard as she used to come down on me about hitting my sister. Oh, man. I mean, if my sister knew she was going to get beat with a belt like I got beat with a belt, maybe she wouldn't have done the things she did. You know what I'm saying? But my mother's head was so screwed up from what my dad did to her that, you know, psychologically or subconsciously, whatever it is, man, it was a wrap. It was really one of those situations. So I'm leading up to the situation I want to tell you guys about. She was 16. So that would have made me 11. Well, maybe she was 17, I was 12. I forget. Somewhere around there. And I had a load of clothes in the washing machine, right? So we were living in a two-story house in Watts, and I'm upstairs. And so I go downstairs when I think my load is done. And I see as I'm walking up, I see my clothes, my wet clothes, sitting on top of the dryer. And I'm like, what the hell? And so I'm perplexed. I'm confused. You know what I mean? But wait, there's more, okay? The washing machine is not stopped. It is going. It's going. It's, you know, doing the washing machine thing, right? And I'm like, what the hell's going on? So I lift up the lid, and I see my sister's clothes in there. And I went, oh, now this is where Ed, you're messing me up, bro, because this story is so much better if I'm able to just be very candid, but I can't. But I screamed, MF-er, you know what I mean? And I power walked up to my room, right? And by the way, at this point, I was probably about the same size as my sister, probably about 5 feet tall. She's like 5'1", 5'2". And I was trying to avoid getting into physical altercations with her up until this point. So that's why she was still punking me. Easy. She was punking me easy in the house. Because she had the backing of my mother, you know what I mean? And if I squared up with her, it's not like if I punched her now, I might actually hurt my sister, you know what I'm saying? I never wanted to, like, hurt her, like, you know what I'm saying? So anyway, so I run power walk upstairs, go to my room. I grab my 2x4. I had this weapon in the house. It was a real thick piece of wood. And I walked towards my sister's bedroom. And the rule in the house was when a lady has a door closed, you're not. You don't just open up the door. And this is the one and only time I walked up to the door, opened it up, and I said, get your ass downstairs, take your stuff out. You guys have to be very visual on this one. Take your stuff out and put my stuff back in there, in the washing machine. And she turns around and says, F you, and if you touch my stuff, I'm going to F you up. And I looked at her, and I said, okay. So I turned around and walked right downstairs. And now she gets up. You know, you get up, and you're riled up, and you start running towards it. I don't know, she's running or walking. I didn't even look behind me. I didn't care. So I got to the washing machine. I opened up the lid, and imagine this, okay? You have to picture this. I start taking clothes out and just winging them over my left shoulder and my right shoulder. Okay, wet panties, wet bras, wet T-shirts, wet jeans, flying, all over the floor in the dining room area. You know what I'm saying? You keep pushing somebody to a certain point, and they crack. And this was my cracking moment. You know what I'm saying? I cracked. You know, it's just so much disrespect a man can take. You know what I'm saying? It was bad. So anyway, so I'm winging the clothes over my shoulder, and, you know, I'm teaching her a lesson. I'm cussing to myself. No, oh yeah, mother effing, this and that, da, 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 you know. And then she comes downstairs, and she goes, what the hell? And she's screaming. I mean, my sister gets amped, like animated and screaming and all this stuff. And I turned around, and I grabbed my 2x4. And she screams. She goes, I'm going to F you up. And I turned around and grabbed my 2x4. And I said, if you touch me, I'm going to kill you. And I looked at her. I had my 2x4 in hand. And she grabbed the dining room chair, one of the dining room chairs. And it was like Clash of the Titans, Godzilla versus King Kong. We went crack on my board, went split in half, wood went flying. Worst fight ever we ever had in our life, right? Okay. When it was over, that fight, I earned my sister's respect. Because after that fight, she never effed with me again. She never messed with me again. You know what I'm saying? And it was almost like prison. You know what I'm saying? if you allow somebody to keep taking your soap and your toothbrush and your toilet paper, they're going to keep doing it. But if you square up with them, bust them in their nose as soon as they ask for it, you don't even respond. You just crack them right in the nose. That's all you got to do. Blood everywhere, and they're like, oh, wow, this dude's going to fight. Okay, never mind. He's not no punk, so I'm going to move to the next dude. You know what I'm saying? It's so funny. I look back at that as an adult. I look back at that, and I think, like, man, you know, it's it really is a trippy situation. So I've had a very interesting family, and I have friends that are in my life that they have great relationships with their brothers and their sisters. And I really think it's pretty amazing that people can get along like that. And I'm envious. I'll admit it. I'm very envious because I have a little half sister. She's 10 years younger than me, and I didn't grow up in a house with her. So I don't feel that close with her. Yeah. You know, but it's not the same as growing up in a house. And obviously me and my sister, we just can't. My sister feels like my mother, and I'm going to wrap this up because we're coming to an end, but my sister still feels like to this day that my mother damaged our relationship. So I'm going to repeat that. My sister feels like my mother damaged brother-sister relationship by telling me to tattle on her, my sister. And my answer is always this, okay. That's old doo-doo, okay? Yeah, that's it. That's old doo-doo, okay? Like, we've been adults. Why can't we get along now? You know what I'm saying? So, in other words, if it's just, how do I say? I'm sorry. I just saw a video that cracked me up. Anyway, how do you, in that situation, explain to a grown adult that is still blaming mommy? You know what I mean? Still blaming mommy. But anyway, so I'm going to wrap it up. I got to say one other thing, something to make you laugh, give you a little insight on my sister and my mother. My sister, 90 seconds, all right? So my sister ended up taking my mother to the psychiatrist with her. And my sister describes this to me. She's grown. You know, she's 50 years old. My mother's, you know, she takes her in. My sister's sitting there crying, boo-hoo, you know, just bellowing, you know, being dramatic who she is. You know, I'm not surprised by that. And my mom is sitting there toe-tapping and looking at her wrist at the time. And she says to my sister, or to the psychiatrist, she says, how much longer is this going to be? While my sister's sitting there crying crocodile tears. And my sister told me this, I fell out laughing. I said, you know who she is. I don't know why you're even trying. It'd be like taking, I don't know. I just don't really understand why one would take my mom and expect to get any kind of sympathy or empathy. My mother's not built that way. You know what I mean? She's very hardened. So it is what it is. But anyway, it's been fun. It's been great. Thank you again for tuning in to DC's Black and White, No Gray Zone. I feel like this show, I caught my stride. I'm going to laugh with Ed about the little flub in the beginning. But other than that, I really appreciate you guys. I'm hoping to get my boy on the air, the little rapper from Connecticut.